following program is sponsored by Mission America and may contain views and opinions that do not reflect the views of the advertisers, staff, and owners of this station. Some material may not be suitable for children. Listener discretion is advised.
Yeah, I used to be a liberal too.
Before I started thinking.
The way you think creates reality for yourself. There are other factors going on, so it's not everything, but you really can change your own reality based on the way that you think.
If God for you is still about a belief, then it's not truly God.
If you look at the 10 hottest years ever measured, they've all occurred in the last 14 years. Hottest of all was 2005.
Yeah, I used to be a liberal too. Before I started thinking.
This is Mission America with Linda Harvey.
Because with God,
all things
are still possible.
Good afternoon, friends, and welcome to Mission America Radio. I am Linda Harvey, and I am so glad you have tuned in today. I invite you to go to our website at missionamerica.com, where you'll find lots more information about the subjects we talk about, and you'll also find out more about our ministry. Let me ask you a question. Is it important for our children to learn history? Of course, we're going to answer yes, but it's the content of that history that can make all the difference. There are some astounding trends in the teaching of history and social studies in all schools, not just public schools, and they have been revealed by the research, excellent research, of my guest today. Dr. Mary Graybar is a writer, college English teacher, whose parents escaped from Slovenia in 1959 when she was very young, and spent a year in a refugee camp in Austria. That definitely has colored her perspective. They immigrated to Rochester, New York when she was two, and she can tell us much more about that background, and then we can go on to our discussion. Welcome to Mission America Radio, Mary.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I'm so glad to have you on the program. When I learned about your work, I was jumping up and down. I was so excited to find all of the excellent material that you've put together.
Well, thank you.
Well, give us a little more background then about your own journey. And I understand you at one point were a liberal, but you kind of came around to conservatism. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I had my conversion in graduate school. that's where you see the real outcome of liberal thinking.
Right.
I had returned to graduate school after being gone from school for about 10 years and thought I would be engaged in these discussions about the good and the beautiful and the true, and discussing literature and noble ideas, and found myself encountering these radical leftists who were promoting their Marxist agenda in the classroom, and the graduate students were going along with most of the professors, and they were basically destroying literature, and that's what they have done with English departments largely now.
Mm-hmm.
English departments are a joke on most university campuses. So that's where I got my, that's where I started really thinking about being a liberal. And I thought, wait a minute, they're out to destroy the best of Western civilization. And then I, you know, started thinking politically and found myself, you know, going farther and farther away from, you know, my fellow graduate students and professors, except for the older ones who were still there, who had not yet retired. So that's where that began.
Yeah, and your parents and your experience in Eastern Europe has then, I'm sure you brought that to bear at that same point.
Yes, you know, I remember going back. It was still part of Yugoslavia in 1969, but I was a kid and we went back for a 6-week visit. It was the first visit we had since literally escaping over the border. You know, my parents left in the middle of the night and crossed the river into Austria with me in their arms.
Like The Sound of Music.
yeah, And we, you know, we went back, and Tito was still in power. And I remember, I was 12 years old, but I remember listening to the adults talk, and you know, and them whispering, saying, you know, you can't say anything bad about Tito, you know, you can't say anything bad about him. And,
wow.
And that to me was so odd, even as a 12-year-old, you know, that you can't say anything negative about your leader. So that struck me. And, you know, my mother still asks me, well, you know, why can't you get a tenure track position?
Yeah.
And I'm working, you know, here sort of underground, you know, on a couple college campuses. And I tell her, well, they're basically communists. And that's what she understands, because she doesn't really understand what's going on in terms of postmodernism and, you know, these radical theories. But that's what they are. They're basically communists, and they, you know, keep out those who don't think exactly the way they do.
Right. And, of course, it's wrong to label people, but that's what we keep hearing is that people are so hesitant to say what it is, and that's what's so refreshing sometimes, that we can actually need to define and then define. The recent surveys are showing that people don't have, in this country, there are many people that don't have the antipathy to socialism and communism that they used to, and so it needs to be repositioned for people, right?
Exactly, yes. I saw that survey, too. I think it's the same one that you're talking about several months ago. And one of the reasons for that is that they don't teach about communism in schools. They teach about Nazism and the Holocaust, but they don't teach about communism. I've had students in sophomore level, college students, who did not know what communism meant.
Right. Well, many people don't. Many people would be very fuzzy in trying to put a handle on this any longer.
That's right. That's right.
Well, anyway, I could talk to you for hours, and I wish we had hours in my show. We're bound by time with a half an hour. So I want to make sure I have you an opportunity to tell people some of the thing I focused in on your excellent website has lots of articles you've written for the Weekly Standard and many other things you've done. But it was the report that you've done on the National Council for Social Studies recent professional meeting. Was that what it was back in November?
Yes, right.
And like some 3,200 educators were there, and you attended. And just give us some perspectives on what you found.
Well, I attended workshops for 2 days. I started by going to the cultural event on Thursday evening, and that was a powwow dance that was appropriate. Then the next day there was a workshop on, thinking like a native, where there was a discussion of the Euro-American way of thinking versus the Native American way of thinking, instructing teachers to teach Native American or Indian children differently, even in mixed classrooms. And what they mean by that is associatively or, not logically. There was a propagandistic film called Allah Made Me Funny that was promoted by Harvard's Mideast Policy Council Foundation, and it was basically aimed at high school students, and it disparaged Christianity, but in a very subtle way. It just made Islam out to be a cool, hip, tolerant religion.
Right.
I saw a politician come in, and this was Michael Brown, Shadow Senator Michael Brown from Washington, D.C., urging teachers to use their students to lobby on behalf of making D.C. a state so they would have representation, because D.C. voted, I think it was 92% for Obama.
Yeah.
No, absolutely no effort at objectivity or presenting the other side, such as the founders' arguments for not making the District of Columbia a state, or, you know, granting it, voting representation.
Right.
There were several workshops on LGBT issues. Right. There was a workshop on using a book called Enrique's Journey to promote the rights of illegal aliens and it's an adult level book. It deals with such things as domestic violence and illegitimate pregnancy. Mm. But the teacher was using it in her middle school class.
Wow.
So just a lot of blatant use of the classroom for propagandistic purposes to advance social justice, and quite proudly. Also, there were a lot of materials and teachers from public broadcasting who came in, and so they're involved in that as well.
PBS, and of course they want to sell. They have curricula and other materials that they sell to classrooms, right?
Oh yes, absolutely, yes. And they also have teachers that will come in and teach the class.
Mm. And then of course they were suggesting certain speakers, and they were, I'm sure, balanced and fair, right?
Well, if you're talking about promoting social justice, yes, they were promoting social justice.
Yeah, I mean, the ACLU, Planned Parenthood, those kind of names probably arose.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah, they suggested bringing in people from the ACLU and, those kinds of organizations, left-wing organizations, yes, absolutely.
So this is the professional group for social studies teaching in the U.S., and I'm sure this has an impact on all social studies teaching, even in Christian and parochial schools, wouldn't you think?
Because these are
the standards.
Yes. I think there were some teachers from private schools there, although my impression was that they were mostly from public schools, but just from conversations, I mean, I've had conversations with teachers from Catholic high schools who adopt, the social justice agenda
right.
in their classrooms,
right.
and it comes from the education schools as well.
Right.
So what we were seeing here at this conference is an extension of what goes on in education schools.
Right. Right. And so so many people are. I mean, we have an. In our station, we have a number of listeners who send their kids, and I'm thankful for that, to Christian schools and even homeschooling. But once you've changed the professional standards throughout all of the teacher training courses and so on, it becomes very difficult to screen that out of all schools.
Exactly. And the difficulty, I think, comes in determining what has been left out. I think it's much easier to...
Sins by omission.
Yes, exactly. It's easier to sort of attack the bias, if it's there in the textbook, if it's, demonizing a certain side. But when you just are silent on things like communism and the atheism behind communism, well, people forget that.
Right.
Or
the illegal immigrant situation where they are not given a perspective of this is the law of the land. I mean, there are many kids that go through school now that do not realize there are laws in place for reasons about illegal immigration.
Yes, and what was particularly dismaying about that workshop was the emotional manipulation that teacher used. And emotional manipulation was used in just about all the workshops.
Right. Yes.
But what she did is, she got her students to feel very sorry for the illegal immigrants and gave them prompts for writing. Well, these weren't really writing projects. They were mostly short, bursts of writing and drawing pictures. And so to prompts like I feel or I see from the perspective of the illegal immigrant, these middle school students would write, I taste the blood coming out of my mouth.
Yes.
And
oh,
they
gosh.
Would draw a picture of an illegal immigrant with a big tear on his cheek. And so you could see the emotional coercion that was being used.
And that's throughout virtually everything they're presenting to kids. It's emotional manipulation, but not an intellectual analysis of facts and history.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And that, to me, is really dismaying. I think that aspect of modern education needs to be pointed out a lot more. It's not simply, the political correctness, but it's the, emotional abuse of children.
I teach a class once in the spring and once in the fall at a local public high school. I go all day, and I will I'm invited in as a political radical, and that may just gives me a hoot anyway that I'm in the radical classification. But I will go in and teach about the issue of homosexuality, giving them another perspective. And I have PowerPoints and all of this, and they're very polite, and it's usually seniors, and I'll teach all morning, three classes of seniors. And then as a reaction to that, and they do this to their number of their pro and con speakers, they will write papers. And so the teacher will send me the copies of people that have chosen to write about me. And it is all, like I would say 80% of the papers I get back have not looked at the facts I've presented. They have reacted emotionally. It's all emotional mythology that they've learned. They seem to be unable to analyze something from a factual standpoint.
Yes, that's not surprising to me. I'm seeing that in my college students too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's just sort of throughout.
Mm-hmm.
So we have. Tell us, by the way, before we forget, what your website is, so people can go for.
Okay, it's marygraybar.com, and there is no Y in it. It's excuse me, I'm getting over a cold.
Mm-hmm.
Graybar.
Okay, marygraybar.com. Okay. We're going to have to take a break in just a minute, and we'll come back. What I'd like to have you talk to people about a little bit is this idea of social justice and how that concept, I really think, along with defining socialism and communism or redefining it for people, is something we have to understand as conservatives and as Christians, again, because you're seeing it everywhere, and it's being used to justify a ton of these agendas. And the entire anti-intellectual trend going on. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
And it's kind of racial. It has racial overtones as well. Also, I know before we take a break, I also wanted to comment on your report is absolutely excellent, and it's available on your website on this this conference you went to. It's in great detail, and it should just chill people to the bone. The anti-Americanism is, of course, throughout. The anti-Western culture is throughout, a cultural anti-Western cultural bias, and so you give just so much material there. So I would just like to encourage people, if you're interested in this at all, to go to your website to get more about that. So when we come back from our break, we will be talking a little bit about social justice, and maybe you can explain that. Define that a little more carefully for our listeners. Okay, Mary?
Okay.
All right.
Thanks. Great.
This is Life Changing Radio, the Word, 880 WRFZ.
If you are a regular listener to Mission America, you know that Linda provides Christian commentary on the culture. This program equips Christians to recognize and confront the challenges of raising a family and maintaining a strong faith in today's America. It is our hope that you've benefited from the daily Mission America show. We are hearing from many new and regular listeners who tell us how this ministry is making a big difference in their lives. Now we're asking you to join with us in this fight. We urge you to get involved by making contacts with public officials at your school and your local church. Another way you can help is to contribute to our work. Please consider making an electronic donation on our website at missionamerica.com. Or if you prefer, you can send a donation by mail to Mission America, Post Office Box 21836, Columbus, Ohio 43221. That's Post Office Box 21836, Columbus, Ohio 43221. Thank you for your prayers and support. Now back to today's show.
Listen to past Mission America programs online at WRFD.com. Just click Mission America on the WRFD homepage. Now back to Linda.
We are talking with Dr. Mary Graber, who is a college English professor and writer and researcher of many of the trends in education, social studies teaching, English teaching. And Mary, one of the things that I noticed, first of all, before we talk about social justice, which I want you to do, but is this trend toward learning by doing. You've mm-hmm. mentioned that often in here, that, and this is like throughout education, and when my kids were little, and this is, you know, 10 and 15 years ago, I was so frustrated with this because it's so different than when we grew up.
Excuse me. I mean, I think that all kind of emerges from, you know, John Dewey's philosophy, but it's very anti-intellectual.
Right.
It also eliminates independent thinking.
Right. They're not assigned reading. They're not assigned something that requires quiet and thought and discipline and analysis and objectivity.
Exactly, right. They're put into these little groups. They're asked to, you know, put together little projects, or they're asked to come to group decisions, and so they're faced with peer pressure.
Right.
And the teacher off to the side acting as facilitator, directing it all.
Right.
You know? So, excuse me. It really just... you know, it's very anti-intellectual, and whenever, you know, I hear some leftist talk about, you know, how conservatives are not intellectual.
You want to scream. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I know. That's what I deal with all the time. I get reactions from emails to my website, and it's basically it's more of the same from the kids when I teach in the classroom. It's all feelings and inability to back off and look at something. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Tell us about social justice. Give us I know this is just hard to grab in a few minutes, but give us what we could grab onto as far as a definition.
Well, social justice sounds very nice because it's got the word social and it's got the word justice. But to me, it's an oxymoron. It's a contradiction of terms. And if you look at the founding documents, of this country, there is no such thing as social justice. There are individual rights,
right?
But there's no such thing as social justice
of groups, of identified groups, of
exactly.
So-called oppressed people.
Right. I mean, if you have justice for a group, that necessarily means that there are going to be some individuals who are going to be harmed. Because you're looking, not at the individuals, but at, you know, sort of the group outcome. And if, you know, someone needs to get, you know, steamrolled over, they'll do it. And that's exactly what's happened in communist regimes.
Right.
It's another term, you know, for, communism.
It certainly is. That's what it seems to me. It's a hidden way to present Marxist theory into both... Actually, not just classrooms, but into faith communities as well.
Yes, yeah, we're seeing that a lot. It's you know, come into the Catholic Church and other churches as well. And you know, the thing is, if these kids were exposed to, you know, some of the documents of the country's founding, you know, like the Federalist Papers or even reading Tocqueville's work. They would see, how aware these people were of the danger of such concepts of the tyranny of the majority, and that's what you have in social justice. It's the majority that becomes a tyrant. The group.
Yeah, the group think and agendas by special interest groups. You've also done a lot of work on looking at Bill Ayers, and
mm-hmm.
We aren't going to have enough time to get into that, but you do have some material on your website about Bill Ayers.
Yes, I do. It's linked up there. If your listeners go to marygraybar.com, they can find that as well under my published works. I have a couple of reports on him. One is Communism in the Classroom, his communist agenda, which he... promotes through his teaching. He's got several books on education out there, and he does lectures
mm-hmm.
at education schools.
He's very influential in training teachers.
Yes, and the sad thing is that it seems like most of the education schools follow his philosophy.
Wow.
And they use his books in their classrooms.
We're going to have to say goodbye. Our time is already up. Isn't this awful? I know.
It went by so quickly.
I know, it does. Thank you so much, Mary. I want to have you on again.
Oh, I'd love to.
And talk more about this. Thank you so much for your work, and please go to marygraybar.com for more information about our guest. I want folks, for you to think about what we've talked about today and what this means for our children. If you strip away the past, think about how Scripture is based in history, how our entire faith, the coming of Jesus Christ to earth at that one point in time, His death, His resurrection, and so much of the history in the Old Testament, the New Testament, it's all wrapped around that. And if you take even just that idea away, you've taken so much. You've stolen the foundation of this country and the faith. Have a great day. Remember that with God, all things are still possible.
You've been listening to Mission America with Linda Harvey.
The opinions expressed on today's show were those of the participants and may not reflect the views of the staff, advertisers, or owners of this station.
For more information, log on to missionamerica.com. Thank you for listening. Be sure to tune in for the next Mission America, because with God, all things are still possible.
You've been listening to the WRFD Featured Ministry, Mission America with Linda Harvey. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Mission America is dedicated to bringing the truth to America, covering trends in the culture omitted by the mainstream media. Mission America needs your prayers, encouragement, news information, and your financial support. For information, visit missionamerica.com. That's missionamerica.com.
This is Life Changing Radio, The Word, 880 WRFD.